God gave my brother a prophetic word in June. It's one of the most amazing prophecies I've heard, and certainly the teaching that evolved from it was one of the most amazing. And the Lord says this, and it's a good conclusion to the weekend for those of you that have been hearing what God's about to do. Here you go. And I'm just going to read a couple sentences, and then I'm going to explain to you something, and then I'm going to come back to the prophecy. There is coming a tsunami generation that will ride the wave of my spirit. They will be called my war eagles. They will ride the wave of my presence. And as my war eagles, they will begin to fly, picked up by the waves of my presence. Now, there's much more, and I'll read the rest of it in a minute. But when he gave this prophecy, something triggered in his spirit, and he knew that God was trying to say something more to him that he could understand just from the words of the prophecy. That he was going, that it was launching him into some study and research. So he spent a cup. When he gets on something, he's like a hound dog on a trail. He said, "I spent probably 200 hours studying this," because he knew this. God was trying to talk to him about war eagles, for one thing. So I'm going to tell you what he found out, and then I'll come back to the prophecy. To find out what war eagles were, you've heard of maybe war eagles or screaming eagles, you know, sports teams or whatever. To find out where that comes from, war eagles, you have to go back to 700 BC. Almost 3,000 years. To the Assyrian Empire. You can read about Sennacherib in Isaiah 36 and 7, 2 Chronicles 32. The most vicious kingdom on earth was the Assyrian Empire, 700 BC. They were ruthless. Sennacherib was their king. Their goal was to conquer the entire Middle East, where Sennacherib would then rule the entire world. From where he would run. Thus the conquest began. They were bloodthirsty barbarians, displaying no conscience. Their victories were won by their demoralizing and gruesome war tactics, such as skinning people alive and tacking their skin to trees and buildings as a warning to those around them, "Do not resist us." They maintained their kingdom through cruelty and fear. Sound like the devil, doesn't it? Hitler and Stalin, love these guys. They love this man. Hitler and Stalin both studied Sennacherib and the Assyrians. Probably the same demon, probably the same principality. Sennacherib described his army as terrifying splendor. Another of his tactics was something called the impaling pole, a 10-foot or so pole they would put in the earth with a sharp point on the top. They would tie a victim to it in such a way that over the next hours, days, the weight of the body would cause them to be impaled, and they would hang there until they died. They would leave them there until the bodies decayed and would begin to rot and turn black, and they were called black forests. History says that Sennacherib killed 2.5 million people on impaling poles. So when he was finished in a region, it looked like a black forest. He was very inventive. He created the catapult. People didn't know what was happening, and all of a sudden these big boulders come flying over the city wall, crashing into their homes, busting through the gates. He created towers that would be pulled up by horses or oxen to the edge of a city that was closed up, that the gates closed, and they would pull the tower up and had a staircase inside, and the soldiers would run right up, jump on the wall and come in, take the city. He's very inventive. He conquered much of the world, and then he came to Israel, and he had conquered the northern part of Israel. And then he set his sights on Jerusalem and the southern kingdom. He sent 250,000 soldiers to lay siege to Judah. And King Hezekiah, knowing the story and knowing that no army in the world had been able to stop this invading force, was now under siege by Sennacherib, who would send his generals to the walls of the city and read letters from him saying, there's no point in resisting us. You know that nobody has stopped us, and nobody else's gods have ever been able to stop us, and your God won't stop us either. Then he invented another war weapon called the war eagle. He invented the concept. Sennacherib had captured and then over a couple of decades produced through breeding and et cetera and capturing, he had 7,000 Himalayan golden eagles. He sent 700 of them to Jerusalem. These eagles were huge. They were a very large breed, with a wingspan of 8 to 10 feet. 3, 6, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 chairs. Huge bird, probably like a condor. They trained these, they tied leather cords to their feet with a metal ball about the size of a golf ball. And then they were trained to where a soldier would come and he'd have a leather cord and he'd wrap it around his wrist and then he'd tie the other end to the leg, the talons of this eagle. And he would lift up the eagle and then he would begin to run and the eagle would scream and begin to flap its wings. And it could not soar because of the weight, but that's what they wanted, but it could carry the soldier at amazing speeds. And he could go 20, 30 miles an hour at 30 to 40 feet strides. Because all he had to do to help the eagle, this eagle flying, he'd just spring off of one foot and then it would just take him up 8, 10 feet and the eagle would just come back down. He'd go off the other foot and he just... And you look out of your city at this huge army and they're laying siege to you and they're patrolling with these guys being carried along by these Himalayan golden eagles. After a while, the eagle would tire and the guy would just unwrap his arm and drop off and the eagle would then soar and catch a thermal and lock his wings and just regather his strength for a while, reoxygenate his lungs. And then when he was strong again, he was trained to look for an enemy. They could see an eagle can see a mouse a half mile away. And they would descend on an enemy at speeds up to 60 miles an hour. And then just before they hit the enemy, they would turn, and those metal balls, they would go for the head, and those balls would hit the person in the head. Josephus says that upwards of 2,000 people in Israel had been killed by the war eagles, sometimes decapitating them. It got so bad that Everywhere they went, people would see a shadow and duck because they were afraid it was an eagle. Here are these weapons. The catapult, the army, the towers, the war eagles. And Hezekiah says, there's no hope that God, if you don't do something, there's no hope for us. And so he sends a messenger to the prophet Isaiah. He says, do you have a word for us, Isaiah? And he said, yes, I have a word for you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And King Sennacherib's general standing outside your gates reading the decrees. You can read Isaiah 36, 37. At one point, Hezekiah took the letters in and spread them out in the temple before God and said, here, read them. What are we going to do? And the prophet said, no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn.
Jesus.
And you can almost hear Hezekiah. What about these eagles? And now you know why the Lord said, those who wait upon the Lord. Now watch, now wait, don't get ahead of me. I know it's hard. Wait there is a different word in Hebrew than just sitting passively waiting. It's kava, which means to braid yourself or bind yourself to something. It's the Hebrew word for a braid. The concept is those who are braided together with God. Those who wait upon Him, and in your waiting, you're being entwined with Him. So now you know why the Lord, in response to Sennacherib's war eagles, says to Hezekiah, those who braid themselves to me will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not get weary, because the eagle's doing all the work. And unlike his eagles, I can soar with you. I'll take you up higher than him. Though vigorous young men get tired and grow weary, those who tie themselves to me will soar. And then the Lord said, by the way, I will take care of Sennacherib. I will send an angel. Jewish historians believe that it was Michael. If you don't know it, Michael is bad. And one angel, and this is in the Bible, one angel took out that entire army. And when Israel got up the next morning to look out over the wall, instead of seeing 250,000 soldiers waiting to come and impale them, they saw 185,000 of that army dead.